If you love Positive America and want more of my political analysis, you should subscribe to my newsletter, The Message Box. I'm Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, and in Message Box, I break down what's actually happening in politics and what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump and MAGA. If you follow every poll and every twist and turn in the campaign, Message Box is for you. This isn't just hot takes. Every edition delivers clear analysis, behind-the-scenes insight, and practical strategy you can actually use, whether you're working on a race, organizing your community, or just trying to win the argument in your group chat. So if you're listening to this, hit pause, go to your browser, and head to crooked.com/yeswedan, because I have a special offer for Crooked Media fans. You'll get 20% off a Message Box for an entire year. So go to crooked.com/yeswedan.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm back. I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Welcome back, Alyssa. How are you doing?
I'm okay, you know, one day at a time.
One day at a time, but you're back. I missed you so much.
I missed you guys. I am healing and nurses are angels.
Incredible. Okay, Alyssa, in the spirit of DHS Secretary nominee Mark Wayne Mullen's ongoing confirmation hearing and the fact that Senator Mullen never served in the armed forces, but talks like he did, to the point that a former member of Congress who did serve was like, this is kind of stolen Valerie.
I saw that.
Yeah. Have you ever found out that somebody you knew was lying about an important biographical detail? And
yes.
What was it?
Okay. I had a friend who told me she had a twin brother who died, and she never had a twin brother.
That's scary.
100%.
That is like chills.
Yep.
That's chills.
It was, and I found out in the most bizarre way, she does not know that I have learned this, and I've known it for years now. And I literally just kind of like stay friendly with her because I worry about confrontation or anything. Like, someone who lies about having a twin brother, you just like let that go.
You just
move on and keep your distance.
That's a scary lie. That is like, thank you for that important information.
Yeah. You didn't think that's what you were going to get when you asked me the question.
No, I actually did, because I've heard this story before. I was like, I wonder if she's going to spill it. The only one that I have is like, there was this girl who was tangentially friends with this guy I was dating. Like, she was in his tangential friend group. And she had told everyone in the friend group, like, this guy was like, oh, she went to Notre Dame too. And she had gone to St. Mary's. She had just told everyone
that she went.
But it's like, St. Mary's is the all-girls college across the lake.
Well, yeah, but still.
It's not the same school. It's a great school, but it's not the same school. And when I met her, I was like, oh, what dorm did you live in? Not knowing that she. And she was like, she was like, Le Mans. And I was like, oh, you went to St. Mary's. And it was like, it caused like a scandal in the friend group.
Yes, I could see that.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of lie that you just don't tell because you will get caught.
Yeah, eventually.
You know?
Like, especially in Chicago, like, you're going to meet somebody who went to the school that you're saying you went to, and they're going to be like, no, you didn't.
They're going to be like, what dorm were you in freshman year?
Yeah.
And it's even worse if she'd actually, like, picked a dorm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, you know so-and-so? Or she'd accidentally picked my dorm?
I mean, it would be, like, you just don't tell that lie.
No. It's just, like, you're going to get caught. We got some breaking news as we were recording, so we'll touch on the bombshell reporting on civil rights activist Cesar Chavez and the allegations of a lifelong pattern of sexual abuse. We also get into the election results out of Illinois, the latest on the Save Act in Congress, Louis Theroux's new Netflix documentary on the Manosphere, how the right is shaping culture in weird new ways, and then we end with Sandy Petty. You're listening to Hysteria, your destination for micropenis discourse.
My first day back, really?
Yeah, we're starting right off with the micropenis. And you know what? I'm not the one bringing it up for once. I am not the one accusing somebody of having a micropenis.
No.
On Sunday, a bald man with a microphone named Mark Levin called Megyn Kelly an emotionally unhinged, lewd, and petulant wreck. He added, she's completely revealed and destroyed herself. She's everything people say she is, but much worse, never an intelligent, thoughtful, or substantive comment, utterly toxic. Now, I agree with 75% of that characterization, but I also think Mark Levin sucks. So what came next was very funny to me. Megyn Kelly, let me remind you, when I say this, it's not that I don't think women in their 50s can be cool. It's that I expect a certain level of wisdom and dignity that comes with age. And so Yeah. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
It I see what you're saying.
You can't talk about a micro penis. But anyway, so Megyn Kelly is like a 55-year-old mother of three. And on a on Sunday, she tweeted back, micro penis Mark. Micro penis Mark, Mark Levin show, thinks he has a monopoly on lewd. He tweets about me obsessively in the crudest, nastiest terms possible, literally more than some stalkers I've had arrested. He doesn't like it when women like me fight back because of his micro penis. Now,
I mean, it's a trick that's worked well for Trump, nicknaming people. And she clearly picked it up because micro penis Mark is pretty funny.
Micro penis Mark is pretty funny. And I'm kind of in on team let them fight. I do think that Megyn Kelly has absolutely no credibility. And she is like a morally empty attention goblin at this point in her life.
Yeah.
And there's something very like sad and weird and bratty about her. But mm-hmm. I do think that I'm going to have to hand this round to Megyn Kelly because the alliteration in micro penis Mark...
Chef's kiss.
It's really good. I gotta say. And it's stretched into like a 4-day story. There was like a Mediaite piece.
Do they not have other things to do? It's so crazy.
Here's the thing. I think that this is something that when we thought that Kamala Harris might win, we were such like sweet summer
LOL.
Children. There were conversations on the left and among progressives. It's like, how do we make interesting media when we are the ones in power?
Mm-hmm.
And the right wing has decided that the way to do that is to just eat each other alive for mm-hmm. our entertainment.
It is.
Because they are still, like, holding on to people's attention. Like, there's mm-hmm. nothing interesting about being a toady. You know, like,
right.
Benny Johnson, his content is, like, fucking boring because he's so, like, irrationally exuberant about everything
well,
that
Donald
point, Trump
does. Well, at this point, Trump is really fucking boring.
Yeah.
You know, like, in the first term, I guess during the election in 2016, he was new and he was different and he talked differently. Now he's just, like, a boring, lazy, malevolent hack.
Yeah, and he's trying to he's lying about things that are happening like in front of our
eyes
in
real time. Yeah.
And he doesn't really see. But yeah, there's nothing really that's exciting or interesting about something lacking in conflict, right? Like conflict
right.
is interesting. And so the conflict that they're creating is just fighting with each other.
Right, it's like what we always talk about, especially you because you really pay close attention to her. Candace Owens will always be interesting. I mean, not mm-hmm. always, but she is interesting. She is wrong and says scary things. Megyn Kelly, too, kind of. You know, like they just, but Trump is so, sorry, can't help it. I've seen a lot of Trump the past couple of weeks sitting on the sofa, and he's just really fucking boring.
Yeah. I mean, I think Megyn Kelly is just kind of like wildly swinging in a crowded room. Like
yeah.
she's just trying to land punches. And the difference between a Megyn Kelly and a Candace Owens, why I think Owens is interesting and Megyn Kelly is kind of just like tedious, except when she lands one, like in this case,
right.
it's like funny. I think that like Candace Owens is genuinely unhinged and Megyn Kelly is just trying
yeah.
to like come up with stuff.
Good
she's
point.
She's just trying to like come up with ways to be interesting. She's a journalist. She knows how to like get people's attention, but it's hard for her using her old tricks. And so she's just kind of like ratcheting up the effort. But yeah, that's how they are keeping people paying attention to the conservative media ecosystem. They don't have any ideas for how to govern. They're getting mad at each other and they're eating each other alive. And I really hope that this becomes like a week two story. Who else has a micro penis? Let's find out. I feel like it doesn't, like a lot of them probably. There's a lot of people who feel bad about their penises on the right. You know?
I'm sure.
It's just
probably on the left too.
Probably on the left too. But like, I think that there's, I mean, it's like the thing about being a short guy. Like, mm-hmm. if a short guy who doesn't feel bad about it, awesome. Like nothing more attractive than a confident person, than a person who's completely confident in their own skin. But a short guy who does feel bad about it, a problem.
For all of us.
For all of us. All right. Let's talk a little bit about real things that okay. aren't just imaginary fights about genitalia.
Oh, don't tease me.
On Tuesday night, our pal, journalist Kat Abu-Ghazaleh, lost her primary election in Illinois' 9th district by only 3 points to Daniel Biss. Biss had 29.4% of the vote. Kat had 26.1%. Laura Fine, 20.3%. So it was like a three-way, it was a multi-way field.
Yeah.
It's a bummer because we really like Kat. Kat was on the show. Kat had some really good ideas. Kat was out there doing things that other candidates weren't willing mm-hmm. to do. But I think that there are some positive takeaways here. Alyssa, what's like one positive takeaway you have from the outcome of this race?
Well, did you see the voter turnout? Incredible. Democratic voter turnout. So I actually wanted to double check because I didn't want to be wrong. Democrats in 2024 turned out 53%. This primary, 68%.
Whoa.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Republican turnout was way down from 47% to 32%.
Mm-hmm.
All good. And another little bit, if you include Illinois, is that all five primaries so far this year, Democratic turnout has averaged 55%, and in 2024, it was 46%.
Great.
And a lot of those are red states, too. So that's, like, decent little headwinds, like decent little, you know, green shoots of hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also want to flag that AIPAC, American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, which is a group that has a ton of money. It's a dark, we can call it a dark money group, right?
No, I actually looked this up.
Okay.
It is so AIPAC can take dark money.
Okay. So it is AIPAC can be a conduit for dark money.
Yeah.
But it is not itself the dark money. Okay. I mean, it is dark money adjacent. It is dark money.
It is all PACs are dark money adjacent and should be banished. Mm-hmm. Because how it basically works is that if you're AIPAC, you have to disclose all of your donors. If your donor is the Alyssa PAC, and I'm a 501, or Alyssa Progress or whatever, and I'm a 501c4, they just have to report Alyssa PAC, but I don't have to report my donors. And so that's
you,
how it's.
You could start Alyssa PAC yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could call it not Alyssa PAC.
Yeah, I could, Alyssa then, Policy, whatever.
Not Alyssa. You could say Alyssa did not donate to this PAC, and then mm-hmm. Alyssa could actually donate to the PAC, and then Alyssa, not Alyssa PAC, could donate to AIPAC, and no one would ever be able to trace it back to Alyssa, especially because you called it not Alyssa.
Right.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Okay, so this group poured millions of dollars into this race, $22 million into Chicago primary races. They really turned their sights on Kat in the waning weeks of the campaign. They also initially had been focused on taking down Biss. So the two candidates that they were targeting in this race ended up going 1-2 in the race, which is exciting because AIPAC has had like an undue influence on American politics, and there are quite a few politicians who have taken a lot of money from AIPAC or who have had AIPAC pour money into their races either on their behalf or against them. And I think we're really encouraged by this. Even though Kat lost, I'm sure she'll run again. She's like so young.
Yeah. I mean, I could birth her. But the one thing that makes me so mad, and like, yes, we can focus on AIPAC. I've never liked AIPAC. But do you know that in 2010, it was about $140 million of dark money, and now it's $1.4 billion?
It's crazy.
It's disgusting. Like, nobody, like Big Pharma, oil, like none of them should be able to just like, keep giving that money.
Well, and the more
we
cede our communication to platforms that can be bought and controlled and manipulated by various entities, like if you spend your time all day on the internet can be manipulated. And so opinions can be like pushed one way or the other. That's why I think that touching grass and forming communities and being outside and actually being around other people is like the best remedy. I mean, it's right now, it is like one of the only remedies we have for like the absolute overgrowth of dark money in politics is for people to actually like log off, because every platform that you could possibly use to communicate or get information from can be and is manipulated a lot of times by dark money, by campaigns, by foreign governments, by like literally PR people. Like
Aaron, one of the starkest examples of this was when I was pretty sick and before I knew what was wrong with me, and I kept Googling like probiotics, you know, like all sort of like the Maha-y things. It was like a day and a half before my Instagram feed was just crazy, goofy, Maha, like, here's how you can solve your problem. Like, it was diagnosing me. Nothing was even remotely close to correct. But it was crazy that I literally did just like a couple Google searches on like the best probiotics, and I was inundated. like
crazy.
It was crazy, and it was freaky because I was like alone in a hospital room, yeah. And I'm like, people are really watching me, like in the, you know what I mean? You're like, this is insane. And then I told one of the nurses, and she was just like, oh my god, it happens to people all the time. Stop Googling. And I was like, I was just looking at probiotics.
Yeah, probably also noticed that you were in a hospital because of like location targeting,
yes,
and stuff.
Yes, isn't that crazy?
But, yeah, it's
it was
crazy.
Really scary.
I do think that, like, here's the thing: bots can't vote. Bots can't show up to rallies,
right?
But, and so, like, even though the bots have, like, turned the internet into basically dead internet, I think that it's really important for us to take a look at what happened in Illinois on Tuesday night, and remember that, like, despite all this dark money, and I'm sure there were, like, attendant campaigns meant to take down Kat and meant to take down Biss, people still can kind of see through the bullshit for now. Like, maybe we have a little bit of time left before we're, like, completely overrun by and controlled by, like, messaging campaigns.
Well, you know, I think the good thing is that so many of these PACs from A to Z on the spectrum, so many of them will do ads. They'll put ads up on TV as ways of supporting campaigns, and they'll usually just talk about issues and not do electioneering. And the thing is, they don't know how to do ads, so they're so bad that when you watch them, you're like, Jesus Christ. Like, okay, I don't know who's doing this for you, but they're not helping you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I am ever wary of influence campaigns. I see them everywhere. Maybe I'm seeing them some places where they aren't, but, like, I don't know. Sometimes when I'm on Instagram, I'll get fed some content that is, like, very controversial, where it's like, uh-huh, I agree with this, but this is very controversial, and I'm not going to click like because I think it's a trap. I think,
yeah,
if I click,
sure,
like, I'm going to end up on a list. I'm probably already on a list, but I'm going to end up on a, like, super bad list if I click like if I click like on this. And I don't know. I do need to touch grass more often. That is 100% true. Let's move on to the SAVE Act. What's going on with the SAVE Act?
Another big week for the SAVE Act. Aaron John Thune kicked off the SAVE Act vote Tuesday night. Progress is going to be slow. It's expected to take over a week. Only need a simple majority to open the debate, which they got. But they're going to need 60 votes, a 60-vote majority to pass the act. Now, Donald Trump has made this his hill to die on. Whoever doesn't support it, he's going to do a primary against them. He's not going to support them. He's not going to endorse them. Okay, well, they should ask John Cornyn how that works out for him, because Trump decided not to endorse after he played his version of The Bachelor. He was like, actually, I'm not endorsing either of you. So I don't really know how much his threat means in this point of 2026, first full year in office.
How much weight does his endorsement have, though? Like, I mean, and I'm not saying that Donald Trump speaking out against somebody doesn't have an impact, but he has weighed in on so many races where he hasn't ended up being the deciding factor. So
totally.
It's kind of like, I don't know, whatever.
Well, and this could be a real self-interest thing because, okay, so Mike Lee, who just loves Donald Trump, and he's out there just shouting, you know, from the top of the mountains, wants to see all Republicans. He wants to see this battle over the SAVE Act be the equivalent of that during the 1964 Civil Rights Act debates, which I'm sure were actually far less racist than this will be. But not all Republicans, so they need 60 votes. Not all Republicans are stoked on making history with Mike Lee. GOP senators with lots of rural districts have strong reservations about the provision to the bill that would eliminate most mail-in voting, since it would force their voters in many instances to travel long distances. GOP Senators Tom Tillis and Lisa Murkowski have signaled they will not vote for this bill, and the votes of Senators Mitch McConnell and John Curtis, the other senator from Utah, are also in question.
That is literally the first time I have seen the name John Curtis in my life.
I had to Google him.
I was like, who is this?
And then I thought it was funny they were both from Utah, and I was like, oh, Curtis must be up before Mike Lee is.
Yeah, Mike Lee, talk about a guy who needs to log off. That man,
he's like a mean Cabbage Patch Kid.
That man is so Twitter poisoned that I think if you took Twitter, if like there's like an EMP and like the internet went away, Mike Lee would have to go to the hospital. He would be like twitching. He would have to be given like some, you know, when like someone's detoxing, but it happens.
Yeah,
he'd
be like, he'd need some Narcan or something.
Yeah, someone would have to like help him out because he is way too online to the extent that it's like, dude, don't you have children? Like, don't you have a family?
Or, like, interests? You own a book? I don't know.
No, it's literally...
It seems like no.
He is, like, and I've done this before, but made this comparison before, but, like, he is the most cocaine rat of the cocaine rats.
Yeah,
like, that experiment where they had rats and there were two buttons and one of them gave the rat cocaine and one of them gave the rat food and the rat with the cocaine option eventually just hit cocaine over and over again and starved to death. I feel like that is my Lee with the dopamine hit of being on... X, and I actually don't really care about him as a person. If I did care about him, I would like stage an intervention and be like, you need to log off. Because I think the SAVE Act is something that's being cheerleaded on because Donald Trump likes it. It's being cheerleaded on platforms that are friendly to Donald Trump. But
of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Senate is basically wasting their time here, right?
Yes. Yes.
They're wasting the American people's time.
Yeah. They should just go do something that can help. They should, like, get together and everyone should, like, stop the government shutdown because there are, like, two-hour waits at the airport right now for people to get through TSA, which is not the fault of the TSA agents. And be nice to them when you see them. This is their second paycheck they have not received.
This is, you know what? We need to introduce a constitutional amendment that makes it so that members of Congress do not get paid and have their benefits suspended during government shutdowns.
Yeah.
And there should be a minimum number of bills that they pass every year if they want to get paid. They should get a bonus if they pass like the certain, they should get like 50% of their income so that it's like livable. But then like,
and it's like, what did you sponsor? What did you author? What did you co-sponsor?
Exactly.
You should have to do like a report at the end of the year. Your deliverables.
Yes.
What are their deliverables?
What are
we
your
all have to have deliverables.
I mean, everybody else has them. Like, they should – it's so ridiculous that they're still getting paid. They are, like, literally just sitting there wasting everybody's time. There are pressing issues with America, and one of those issues is not too many people are voting. Like, there are so many more important things that we are facing right now as a country. We are at war in Iran. We're at war in an illegal manner.
We're at war – and not one member of the administration can say the same – none of them have the same reason for why we're there.
No.
And could you imagine?
That is like – that is crazy. And it's Congress – Congress is the one that gets to declare war, and they're just not – they're just – I can't – like
– yeah. It's not good.
Guys.
Well, it's like – here's the other thing. There is like – there's this window of time where if you're like not really at war – the president has some leeway, right? Mm-hmm. Except Donald Trump keeps using the word war. It's like one of these like little semantical things that I feel like I can't be a hypocrite about. And it's like, so like technically he can like bomb someplace and we aren't technically at war, but we're at war here. And he can't explain to America. Like, can you imagine? I can remember clear as night or clear as day, I guess, but it was nighttime when Bush 41 went into the Persian Gulf. I can remember he went into the Persian Gulf and like addressed the country that night at like 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump does nothing but say inconsistent, nonsensical things from like the Kennedy Center board meeting. It's just completely fucking outrageous.
It is. That man like seems like he is if his body is not on death's door, his brain is. His brain is like a 75% dissolved saltine in a cup of water.
That like, is so gross and so true.
It is just not working fully, his brain.
No.
And his skin looks like it's falling off of his skeleton.
So gross. We keep screen grabbing things to each other. I'm like, what is this? What's wrong between his eyebrows?
I think that he got some. I mean, this is mean, but like obviously his hair got messed up. But right before the State of the Union, that's why it was
definitely.
Like fuzzy. And he's been trying to correct it. He had a weird thing on his neck.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of speculation about what that was. My opinion is it looked like shingles or like psoriasis or something like that. But anyway, the dude looks like he is the portrait from Portrait of Dorian Gray. But he is like the portrait guy is down and like there's a beautiful picture up in an attic somewhere of him looking just like absolutely pristine. Anyway, that's just – but yeah, he had that weird hair thing. His skin is falling off. He's got like sores on his body. Like he's experiencing
cream, like band-aids and cover up and like it's just
he's an old man. He's
like,
an old man.
Hang
he's
it up.
Falling apart. And he has like a stressful job, but he is surrounded by people who are like trying to preserve the illusion of his preferred reality. around him. Like, they're treating him like a little kid at Disneyland. And it's like, he still is like...
That's such a good description. Because here's the thing about his job and being stressed. The thing that would be most stressful for him at this point is trying to keep his lies straight. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's really it. Because you would think his job was stressful if he cared about the weight and import of the decisions he was making. But he clearly doesn't. His job would be stressful if he cared about the American people. He doesn't even care about the people who voted for him.
No, he doesn't. He has, like, open contempt for them. But I think some of them are kind of into it.
Fewer than were into it a year ago, according to polls.
You know, I don't trust polls because I think people lie.
I know, but can't we just take a little detour?
No.
And enjoy one, even though it's like it doesn't even matter.
No, we can't. We can't enjoy anything, Alyssa.
Because of AI.
Because of AI, yeah. If our Sam Altman and Peter Thiel episodes of This Fucking Guy taught us anything, it's that Silicon Valley is a malfunctioning Cybertruck about to drive off a cliff and we are all locked inside. Palantir CEO Alex Karp had an interview with CNBC last week about how he thinks AI technology will impact Americans. Karp said that AI will reduce the economic power of, quote, highly educated, often female voters who vote mostly Democrat and uplift the power of, quote, vocationally trained working class, often male working class voters. As Palantir courts government contracts and continues its work with the Pentagon, his pitch sounds like the perfect way to butter up the Republicans to give him more money. Alyssa, oldest trick in the book, a billionaire trying to convince a bunch of hundredaires that the billionaire is on their side. Does his reasoning actually make sense?
No. Not at all. The thing that is the best is that he has contempt for the people that he says he is going to lift up with AI and be able to vote. But I don't know. Why do they hate women so much?
Well, because it's a way for him to overcome, like, gender war. He is betting on gender war versus class war because he will lose class war.
Right.
Like, he does have a sword, which I've seen a video of him showing off to, like, this female assistant, and it's, like, some of the saddest shit I've ever seen.
Oh, that is sad.
Yeah, he does have a sword. He is a fucking goober, Alex Karp. He is an absolute
goober.
And if there were a moment where it's, like, all the workers across the gender spectrum, men, women, non-binary, everybody, if everybody was like, you know what? Let's get him. We could get him. You could, like, limb from limb. Like, we're having an Alex Karp barbecue tonight, you know? Like, we got him. But if the only hope that people like Silicon Valley bros, the contemptible bros, have is to tell men that they are not in solidarity with the women who are also working.
Yep.
And, like, that is such a fucking boring-ass trick. Mm-hmm. But people fall for it a lot because it is fun to hate women, right?
It's fun to hate women, and it's fun to have someone like Alex tell you that you're struggling in life, not because of you, but because of the college-educated women. They're all taking everything from you.
Yeah, right. It's like, no, it's the people hoarding the wealth. Mm-hmm. It's the people hoarding the wealth and building technology based on your stolen data to be used to violate your rights and to extract more wealth and exploit your labor even more. It's not the woman who works in marketing. It's not. And, like, the funny thing, the thing that was funniest to me is that he completely skips over the biggest sectors that cannot be automated with AI that have absolutely, and that's care work.
Right.
You cannot automate care work. Women overwhelmingly do care work.
Right.
There is, like, you know, I don't know, blue collar work or whatever, to an extent. Some of those positions could probably be eliminated if AI is the thing that he says that it can be, which I don't believe.
Right.
I don't believe
which we
that
see.
It
we have seen no evidence of.
We have
so
seen
far.
No evidence of. I don't. It's like I am very skeptical of this vision. But if this vision, let's say this vision is true, those men would be automated out of existence before anybody providing, like, CNA work, child care, like the work of the biological work of gestating and birthing human beings. Like, there is no replacing women. And, like, I just think it's very funny that he's like, yeah, every woman is working in accountancy, or, like, every woman is, she's
okay,
like,
dude.
Yeah, she's got her master's degree and she's in, like, you know, funds.
She's in fine arts at Sotheby's.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, a lot. First of all, there's, like, a lot of people have computer jobs, men and women, you know?
Yeah.
Secondly, the people that will not be automated out of existence are the ones that are, they're already being like disrespected. Care work is already like undervalued, exploited, disrespected. But it's like, come on, you dumb fucking morons. Like you can't, nobody's going to go to a robot gynecologist. You know what I'm saying?
Ever.
Like, ever. Nobody's going to do that. You guys are, they're so, it's so dumb. I just wish that they, I know that they're not stupid, but I wish they weren't so lazy coming up with these.
Well, and they clearly think we're all stupid. You know?
A lot of us are, to be fair.
Well, not me and you.
No, I'm smart. I think that they think that people are stupid in ways that betray the fact that they don't ever spend time around regular people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because there are definitely ways that a lot of regular people are stupid, but like forgetting about nurses, like not one of them. Anyway, I also think that like the fact that he called out educated women, like we're going to take them down a few pegs is really,
okay. It
really like betrays, like really you're a billionaire and you have smoke with women that make like a fraction of what you're making, mm-hmm. that are just like living independently. It's so betrays the fact that like there is a misogyny that fuels a ton of Silicon Valley advancements and Silicon Valley efforts, mm-hmm. and that the whole thing is rotten because misogyny is at its core.
Or even, and also even worse, is that, I don't know, is he really doing this? We don't know. But the thing is, he knows how appealing his pitch is to people like Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I don't know, are they really going to figure out a way to do this to college-educated women? No, but it sure sounds enticing and delicious to the West Wing.
Yeah, like J.D. Vance immediately popped like, a boner when he heard that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yuck, sorry. I'm sorry, I talked about penises again. Ugh.
Oh, that wasn't what I was just doing.
I know. No, I said he
I was licking my chops.
I said he popped
just
a boner.
Be clear.
I said he popped a boner. I was not. I'm sorry to bring up penises again. We're gonna take
That's
a quick
okay.
break. I'm gonna de-dick my mind. We're gonna take a quick break.
No, we're not. Look what we're coming back to.
Well, I'm gonna de-dick it and then we're gonna re-dick.
Okay.
Okay.
Just need a break.
Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hysteria is brought to you by Jones Road Beauty. I don't hate makeup, but I hate the caked on look and having to use a million products to achieve my desired effect. That's why I am obsessed with the Jones Road Beauty Miracle Balm. It enhances my skin instead of masking it with thick layers. I use it as a highlighter, bronzer, blush, and lip tint. It's the ultimate no-fuss multitasker, no brushes, no complicated routine. I just use my fingers and go. It takes literally 60 seconds. And yes, I used it this morning before recording. It's actually on the table with me right now. That's so funny. The best part of Jones Road Beauty is that all their products are actually good for your skin. Every formula is packed with skin-loving ingredients, and it nourishes your skin instead of clogging or caking. It looks and feels natural, like you're not wearing makeup at all. All Jones Road formulas are clean and high-performing without phthalates, sulfates, petroleum, PEGs, cyclic silicones, EDTA or BPA. I don't know what half of those things are. Jones Road doesn't just have their famous Miracle Balm. They've built a full lineup of effortless skin-first staples, like their Just Enough Tinted Moisturizer, a lightweight, non-comedogenic formula that smooths an even skin tone with a soft touch of coverage. It hides redness, looks natural, and feels like nothing on your skin. Packed with skin-friendly ingredients to keep skin moisturized without clogging pores. I'm also loving their brand new shadow stick. It's a creamy, high-pigment eyeshadow stick designed for real life. I'm so tired of complicated makeup products that make me feel like I need a cosmetology degree to apply. With Shadow Stick, I just swipe it on and blend with my fingers. No brush, no fallout, no mess. Modern-day makeup that's clean, strategic, and multifunctional for effortless routines. For a limited time, our listeners are getting a free shimmer face oil on their first purchase when they use code HYS at checkout. Just head to jonesroadbeauty.com and use HYS at checkout. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you. Hysteria is brought to you by Fatty 15. I've spent so much time, money, and energy on health, wellness, and beauty products to look and feel younger and healthier. I wish I found C15 from Fatty 15 a lot earlier. It's the first emerging essential fatty acid to be discovered in more than 90 years. It's an incredible scientific breakthrough to support our long-term health and wellness. And you guessed it, healthy aging. Fatty 15 co-founder Dr. Stephanie Venn Watson discovered the benefits of C15 while working with the U.S. Navy to continually improve the health and welfare of older dolphins. And what do we always say on this show? We've never seen a wrinkly dolphin. Based on over 100 studies, we now know that C15 strengthens our cells and is a foundational healthy aging nutrient, which helps to slow aging at the cellular level. In fact, when our cells don't have enough C15, they become fragile and age faster. And when our cells age, our bodies age too. This eventually led to studies finding the first new nutritional deficiency in 75 years called cellular fragility syndrome, caused by a lack of the C15. As many as 1 in 3 people worldwide may have low C15 levels and cellular fragility syndrome. Fatty 15 has 3 times more cellular benefits than EPA and omega-3. By replenishing our cells and the crucial C15 nutrient, Fatty 15 effectively repairs cells, reverses aging at the cellular level, and restores our long-term health and wellness. Best of all, Fatty 15 comes in a gorgeous reusable glass and bamboo jar, and refills are shipped right to your door. I am newly on a no ugly packaging kick, and the beautiful glass and bamboo jar means that Fatty 15 was never at risk of getting kicked out of my medicine cabinet. Fatty 15 is on a mission to optimize your C15 levels to help support your long-term health and wellness, especially as you age. You can get an additional 15% off their 90-day subscription starter kit by going to fatty15.com/hysteria and using code hysteria at checkout. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who wish they still thought that H.S. Ticky Tocky was the name of a boat.
I was really disturbed by him.
Yeah. I was really disturbed by him. Speaking of disturbing, something just broke as we were recording this, and we would be remiss to not mention it.
Yes.
We'll go into more detail probably next week, mm-hmm. or maybe we can do a rapid response or something later today, because this is pretty awful. Civil rights leader Cesar Chavez has been accused of sexually victimizing, harming, mm-hmm. grooming young girls and women. Among the people that he has been accused of harming is Dolores Huerta.
Mm-hmm.
And Huerta released a statement via Instagram today, and this is part of it. I'm going to read it from her Instagram. I'm nearly 96 years old, and for the last 60 years, I have kept a secret because I believe that exposing the truth would hurt the farm worker movement I've spent my entire life fighting for. I've encouraged people to always use their voice. Following the New York Times multi-year investigation into sexual misconduct by Cesar Chavez, I can no longer stay silent and must share my own experiences. As a young mother in the 1960s, I experienced 2 separate sexual encounters with Cesar. The first time, I was manipulated and pressured into having sex with him, and I didn't feel like I could say no because he was someone that I admired, my boss and the leader of the movement I'd already devoted years of my life to. The second time, I was forced against my will and in an environment where I felt trapped. The statement goes on.
Bleak
stuff. I'm just going to say this, Alyssa. Men should not be in charge at all.
No.
Of anything. You have.
It's enough.
They had
so much time.
You've had infinity chances.
Yes.
And you keep fucking up. We need to reorganize society entirely.
It's time.
Around a matriarchal structure that centers the well-being of children, the elderly, and their care providers.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else rotates around that. That is my political stance. And it has been my political stance for a long time. But
I stand with you.
It has never been more abundantly clear because, like, the fact that Dolores Huerta was like, the movement is more important than my bodily autonomy and the integrity mm-hmm. of my body and my right to say no to sex is like, patriarchy, fuck you.
And at 96, she had to put out that statement.
At 96 years old. Let her do whatever she wants to do.
Let her live.
At 96 years old. Like, I think it's an important reminder that even the good ones are bad. They're all bad. They're not all bad. I just feel as though, and I'm trying to teach my daughters this,
okay.
Assume man bad until proven otherwise. Assume man bad.
Fair.
Because, like, it's pretty easy for men to, like, prove otherwise. Just simply do not. Simply
throw
do
up
not.
Some green flags.
Throw up
and
some
we
green
can all
flags.
Move on. But you're a green or a yellow. You're a red or a yellow until affirmed otherwise.
Red or yellow until proven otherwise. I think a yellow flag is, like, a fine way to move through the world.
We should all measure twice and cut once in life.
Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit about the manosphere now because these are people that are not – that are just – flying their red flags, like
they're draped
they're
in their red flags,
draped in red flags in a way that comes across as very cynical, and it's revealed in this new Netflix documentary, Louis Theroux: Inside the Manosphere. Mm-hmm. Now, in the doc, Theroux gets up close and personal with several figures in the like fringe manosphere space. Mm-hmm. So not just like your like entry level manosphere guys,
right?
Like not your like I don't know, even like Liver King. Do you remember Liver King?
Of course, I remember.
Yeah, he
Liver
was
King.
Like he wasn't like all about misogyny. He was more about like eating weird foods and like photo ops and stuff. He was talking specifically about people like H.S. Tiki Taki, which is so. That's such a dorky name. A guy named Myron Gaines. That's not his real name either. And Sneeko, which is also stupid.
I mean, their names do not help them.
No. The documentary explores the rise of hyper-masculine influencers and seeks to understand what drives their radical vision of manhood. Now, we both watched it. And we have some thoughts, so let's get into it. Alyssa, what were your thoughts?
I was really disturbed. Like, you know these people exist, but it will never not be shocking to me when someone says, women, no use for you, you're nothing, your only value is if you're beautiful, and that's your only currency, and if you're not, you should just go kick rocks. The ones that are just like, I hate Jews. Okay, that's pretty fucking problematic too. They all did say that, and it was just like.
Eventually, we get to the point where it's like, there we go.
It's everyone.
There. Yeah,
everyone but white men mostly. And mm-hmm. and the other thing that I thought that you always kind of think is true, but watching all of these young men like attack them on the street in a hyper fanatical way. That's just like, oh my God, I love you. And like the scary thing is how young most of them are. Like to the point that Theroux is like, he was like 13.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I know. He shouldn't be watching my content. Like I tell them sometimes. The other thing that I thought was so crazy was like the total, it's like we know they're scammers. We're like, yeah, they're scammers. But like their crazy content that has all, like they're doing like this really sort of just like incendiary, misogynistic, racist content with like the watermarks of crypto companies behind them. So they're like advertising these crypto. It was I had to take notes so that I viewed this as like a scholarly endeavor. Mm-hmm. I looked like a madman by the time it was done. I just had a page of like exclamation points and I can'ts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good summary. The first thing I want to address is the fact that Louis Theroux was the person bringing us this documentary.
Yeah.
There, I saw some discussion about the fact that like, oh, this has woman already has idea and then man has idea in the meeting vibes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to, like, not play devil's advocate, but I am going to kind of frame it in a different way.
Okay.
I think something that was very bleedingly obvious from the beginning of this documentary was that there was a deep wound in all of these
yes.
men, and it
yep.
was and it was surrounding a lack of a male in their lives as children.
Yep.
I think most of them were raised by single moms,
yep.
and rather than blaming their dads for leaving, they got angry at their mothers, like, or they
right.
got angry at women. And there was, like, a sad, like, not to sound like Tobias Funke from Arrested Development, but, like, a man-shaped hole, you know, like, in
yeah.
their hearts and souls. And there was, like, the original wound was, like, a lack of a relationship with a father figure or a lack
yep.
of a positive male role model in their life during a formative time. And so I think men like that, men in the manosphere, they are not honest with women, and they do not let women get close to them in the same way they would let a man get close to them,
mm-hmm.
especially a kind of like dorky, nebbishy guy like Louis Theroux, who just kind mm-hmm. of stands there and lets them talk. I think he does
right.
a really good job of
yes.
just kind of pushing them and be like, really? Like his questions are so simple where he'll just
yep.
be like, really? Really? And it is a shitty state of affairs that there are few women that could get in those spaces and get the same footage that a man could get, but that is the reality. Like there are certain men that only will deal with men or only listen to men. And that's why, like, male allies are so important. And right. that's why when I, like, bitch about men getting away with not being called out for things, I think that, like, men should be calling each other out more. If you call yourself yeah. an ally, if you call yourself a feminist, part of your job as a man is the next time you're around another man or you're in a group of men and a man says something fucked up, you say, that's fucked up. Like,
right.
it, like, but it rarely happens because so many men are, like, followers. Mm-hmm. I think that Thoreau being a man gave him access that a female filmmaker would not have gotten, or the film would have been different. And not necessarily worse, but just different. So this is like—
Well, and that was like to your point, though, too, because Thoreau was a man, but he was totally not threatening to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was just like kind of a dorky looking, not overly worked out, you know, not mainlining creatine. And so they were like, okay, we'll let this guy come play with us for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and they didn't use, and he didn't use big words. And so then they were like, it's a trap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really interesting that they were like trying to film him back as he was filming mm-hmm. them. And I think that they really thought that they were taking power back by
yeah.
putting him on film. Another thing that I realized watching this was like, it gave me a similar feeling to what I feel when I read, like, Evie magazine, which yeah. is like, oh, this is marketed toward people who don't know fucking anything. Like, mm-hmm. the only way that you would watch this and be like, oh, yeah, this has to be how the world works, is if you don't know fucking anything. And that's why it's so insidious and scary, is because, like, this is for boys. Like, this isn't really for other right. men. This is for people who are, like, emotionally and maybe, like, can, like, in terms of their age, maybe they're actually boys. These are for people who are too young to know that the world doesn't work in the way that these people are saying
right.
that it works, or that have grown up in a situation where they can silo themselves into, like, an information space that only reflects their preferred version of reality, which would, again, make them young.
Right.
And so, like, I just, I feel maybe I'm just being, like, too, I don't know, maybe I'm being too soft, but there are a couple moments where there was like a fan of one of these content creators who talked about how he had lost a sibling to suicide.
Yeah.
And I just was like, oh my God, this guy just like needs a hug. Like mm-hmm. there is a clearly like a sense that like these men are not, they do not feel loved.
Yeah.
In a way.
They're not finding these people because they feel whole and fulfilled.
Yes, exactly. They feel like they lack love, and rather than blaming a situation that, like, again, not to sound all like Marxist, but like rather than blaming a system that exploits their bodies and their labor, they blame women who
yeah.
they should be allied with, who we should be like, we should be working together with them
right.
to take down the exploitative system. They're blaming women and they're saying that, well, like, I should have access. This system is exploitative. I should be the one doing the exploiting.
Right, exactly.
And it's kind of gross. Well, there is no criticism or analysis of the platforms that push the content.
I noticed that too.
Do you think he should have? Do you think that would have made the movie too long?
I have to be honest, I'm not sure how much more I could have taken.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think like people are going to go watch this documentary because they're curious. Like, I definitely learned things. I don't like for people who actually like it. Like, want to see these guys. I'm not sure that they're going to, like, tune in. But, I mean, I think he could have at least touched on information about, like, where these guys have the biggest platforms
mm-hmm.
so that you can, like, be aware of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, taking down the entire machine behind TikTok and Instagram and everything probably was a bridge too far. This felt like a very sort of, like, humanitarian view into the manosphere. But, I mean, I would like to know. Is it Twitch? Is it X? Is it Truth Social? Is it TikTok? Like, what mm-hmm. is it? Where is it the worst?
Yeah.
I'm just glad they never found my algorithm.
I mean, it's just like, yeah. I know.
They're really upsetting.
I deleted TikTok. Also, like, there's something so dorky and sad about these guys. Like,
totally.
You know, when I was writing for this TV show, like, a long time ago, it was the first TV job I ever had, and it was like a new show and it was being focus grouped. And during one of the like sessions, we all got together and we got to talk about the results of the focus group.
Mm-hmm.
And they did one, I don't know if you know how like they do, they, back then
yeah.
they did focus groups in like a random mall in Las Vegas
yeah.
that they just decided was like America, middle America. Mm-hmm. They would just grab people, and they had like a women only focus group and a man only focus group and then a man and woman focus group. Mm-hmm. And we watched all three of them. And when we started the man one, one of the producers was like, oh, we don't need to watch the man one. When men get in groups, they have terrible ideas. And everyone was like, yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's like, it was like a known thing that like male focus groups, and we listened to it and they were like, what if you put like flames on the logo? Like they were the dumbest. The dumbest fucking ideas. When the women focus group had like very good, like critical,
they were like ready to take over,
constructive. And then the man and woman focus group together, it's like the men like took cues from the women and were actually like constructive. But the man only focus group was like men trying to increase, like it, like trying to impress each other.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just like anything, things that men make for other men. With no input from women or without taking women seriously are always fucking lame. Like, they're so, like, it just was so corny, like, so over the top, so performative. Like, if I saw any of those guys walking down the street.
Not and, in like, a million years.
I would just, like.
I'd laugh.
It's so, they're so silly. Like, they're so silly.
They just have, like, there's nothing real about them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's performative.
Like their performances are so over the top. Like, even their level of hatred towards certain people, you're like, do you really hate women that much? I mean, what was this HS Tiki Taki called his girlfriend his dishwasher the whole time? I mean, like, even that feels like, okay, we get the point. You hate women. Like, move on.
Like,
get
it's
a new
also
shtick.
Like, come up with a new joke.
That's like, the thing. Like, get a new shtick.
Even if you just hate women, like, there's more jokes to write about hating women. Like,
right. But they're not smart.
They're just mean and
incendiary and, like, shock jock. You know what I mean? Like, this is the modern day shock jock.
Yeah. I also think that generally speaking, I think that women are more perceptive than men to social cues in general. And so, like, watching these men perform for other men comes across as, like, cartoonish to somebody that has, like, a normal ability to perceive and understand social cues. It's so over the top. It feels so, like, I wouldn't go as far as, like, Liz Plank characterized it as, like, homoerotic or, like, gay.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far to say homo. It's, like, borderline homoerotic, but, like, in a way that, like, it's, like, a stunted homosocial impulse where it's, like, these men really want to bond with each other, but, like, loving other men in a way that, like, includes affection and true care is gay. And so they do it in this way that's, like, super weird and performative and, like, circles around it. And it's just, like, it's so unhealthy. And it's so, like, silly.
The one thing that I just found so repugnant about just, like, social media was, I don't remember if it was HS Tiki Taki or Myron, but when they were in the studio and he was recording his YouTube podcast, whatever it was, and they invited the female influencers on the show.
I think that was Myron.
Myron. And they just demeaned them. And the whole point was like, oh, yeah, well, they know they're going to get demeaned, but it helps them build their following. And I just was like, and they were even sort of surprised by how raunchy and offensive he was. And you could tell that he was putting it on extra thick because
there was a camera
Thoreau
crew.
Was there.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was so pathetic.
Yeah. Josh was watching it with me and he ended up putting on headphones and watching soccer on the iPad because he couldn't even like stomach it. The documentary included some moments with the women in their lives, mm-hmm. including partners, employees, one's mom.
Yeah. Sneeko. That was HS Tiki Taki's
mom. HS Tiki Taki, when he and his like shooting partner had matching shaved heads, which was like, this is all very
so weird.
It was super weird. But you know, what did you think about those parts of the documentary?
I mean, they helped contextualize like how, I mean, like these, the thing that you always, I felt like you always saw at one point, even though these women are like, yeah, like, I love him, I get it. There was always one point where Thoreau captured the hurt on their face when they were talked about. And I thought that was very sad. The guy from Louisiana, the red hair.
Yeah, the red-haired guy who takes himself way too seriously.
Yeah, who's like my Lambo. And it's like, okay, calm down with your Lambo. But his non-white, the mother of his children, who he shares a home with, And he talks about, she's like, yeah, like, I want him to do his thing. And, like, I think she thought they'd leave it there. And he's like, yeah, it's like, if I want to have a woman, I just show her a picture of my wife. And I'm like, we're going to have a threesome. And she was just like, mm-hmm.
Oh, and the wife is pregnant, too.
Yes, like, and she's pregnant.
You're trying to get your pregnant wife to have a threesome with
you
some
sicko.
Lady you found at a bar?
You fucking sicko. But then Thoreau, I think, after that, takes us on the journey back to his, like, childhood home. You find out he was raised in a trailer. And I think his mother was, like, at least verbally, like, abused when he was growing up. And you're like, dude, just invest in a little therapy.
Yeah. How many therapy sessions could you get if you traded in the Lambo? Traded in for, like...
Probably not enough, but you might make a dent.
Yeah,
you
traded in for, like, a CRV or, like, you know, a BMW if you want to be, like, a little bit peacocky.
But I always think it's funny, men who have kids that have cars where you could never fit the kids.
Oh, yeah. That's a real thing. He also has daughter. I think he has at least one daughter.
I think two.
Yeah. And then I don't know if there's a daughter or son on the way. There also was this funny mental gymnastics thing that you would witness where he'd be like, yeah, but you don't like it when women sleep around, but you sleep around. And they're like, yeah, but just because I'm selling it doesn't mean. And it's like their brains couldn't quite get there. Like, they didn't understand.
Thoreau's brain, I thought, was going to explode when he watched the influencer. They only show him on screen where he's explaining how women, when they birth children, those children are the sum total of all the men they've slept with.
Oh, my God. That was so funny.
And I was like, and it's like you and I have talked about it. We've talked about it on the show. But watching Louis Thoreau see that for the first time, it was.
He's like,
thank
no,
you.
That is like, that is. I mean,
he's
I
like,
thought.
That's not. Correct.
Okay. A thing you hear from manosphere people all the time is like, men created everything. Men created the bridges and the roads and blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, women created every single fucking man and a lot of men who built the roads and the bridges.
It's true.
And did the art, had wives that were doing everything else for them. Like Henry mm-hmm. David Thoreau's mom was doing his laundry when he was on Walden Pond. So like there always was somebody doing the work. And I feel like the dominance of men in history books is not a testament to the uselessness of women. It's a testament to the selfishness of men to claim credit mm-hmm. for things that they don't necessarily own entire credit for and their unwillingness to help out with domestic necessities that enabled them to do things that were not take care of their kids.
Right.
That being said, one of the things the manosphere is always saying is like, men built everything. Okay, but you didn't build anything because you can't even do science. Like that is a scientifically stupid thing to say. Like you think that the sperm just goes in and like lives there and becomes like
just a puts up a tent
like
hangs
a little
out.
Like
brings
a yarn
a
ball, like a yarn ball of sperm. And then when a lady gets pregnant, the yarn ball like unrolls.
It knows. It knows, like, now's the time.
What the fuck? So here is the science around that. I'm just going to issue a correction. I know I'm a woman, so most of these people will never listen to
my
voice.
Well, you can try.
Feed me through an AI modulator so I sound like a guy with big neck muscles. What happens is if you are a woman and you are pregnant and the pregnancy lasts for a certain amount of time, DNA from that pregnancy circulates in your bloodstream for years. So if you end up like if you are pregnant, even if you lose the pregnancy, mm-hmm. there are traces of your DNA, of that baby's DNA, that baby's mm-hmm. unique DNA in your body for a long period of time. Now, if you
that makes sense.
If you carry a pregnancy all the way to the end and you have the baby, there's like evidence that that lives in your body for years and years. And there's also evidence that like if you have children after that baby or if you have children after that a pregnancy lost, that child has encountered the DNA of that specific pregnancy.
That makes sense.
That is different from the sperm of other guys. It's not the same thing.
It
is not the same thing.
But
oh
yeah,
my God.
He was shook by that.
He was like,
this is crazy.
I hate it when people are dumb.
Willfully. It would take nothing to debunk.
It's like Google. Didn't men invent Google? Then use the fucking thing men invented and find out that you're being an idiot right now.
Truly.
Anyway, okay. Evie Magazine had some thoughts. We've mentioned Evie Magazine. They kind of had a word salad article, which mainly
what'd they
chalked
have
up
to
not all men. And the author of Evie pointed to fatherless homes as the root of the issues in the documentary. I actually agree there.
Well, yeah.
And I think that the blame, I think that the men in the manosphere should be angry at their fathers, not their mothers. And they should be—
Right. The mothers who worked to take care of them and worked to keep food on the table and a table in the house and the house. It is an interesting take to say that it's just that they didn't have men in their lives.
Yeah. It's really wild. But you know, I feel like women cannot fix these men.
No.
I worry that the world is full of this kind of pollution, this stink of the manosphere. And it kind of makes me feel like, you know, right now we are on the cusp of like a regional war in the Middle East, which will ostensibly take many more lives, primarily of men. And I was just thinking about the conversation we had in a previous block about Alex Karp, the Palantir CEO. And I think it's really important for the men that are like angry about not feeling valuable that you are cannon fodder to billionaires, you know?
Totally. Absolutely.
Like the men that are drawn to these manosphere people, like you are the ones that like Alex Karp is going to send to war. You're the one that you are the ones that are going to go get blown up. It's not women that are going to get you blown up. It's the people that are selling you on this notion that women took something from you. The people that are taking something from you are the people that want you overseas dying for like a nonsensical foreign cause. But you know, again, they won't listen to me. I'm a woman.
No, but you know what I like about this documentary? I thought about it when it was over and I was making dinner. I was like, you know what? At least because of this documentary, which I thought he did a very good job with, but because of it, all of the partners, all of the female partners to these manosphere lunatics, at least will have something when they go through, because since none of them are married, they have no claim to the property or—
Well, the one that had kids with him definitely does. I think that he thinks—
Does she?
I think that he
thinks— He said they're not married. Remember,
no,
he said they're not married.
No, but if you have children with somebody and if you're with them for a specific amount of time—
Right,
it depends on what state you live in. But, like, she could move to California, get residency, and basically, like, if they were to break up, she would have a lot of say over his assets and property. I think he thinks that he, like, galaxy-brained his way out of owing things. But it's like, sir, you did not.
I still like that this is a lot of nice, good, hard and fast evidence of, you know, the lives, the actual role they play in these men's lives and the actual things that these men believe and why they probably shouldn't be allowed to see their kids.
Yeah, probably not. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more on how the right is trying to influence culture. Hysteria is brought to you by Helix. The only thing worse than a bad night's sleep is enduring the exhaustion the day after. I used to think I was doomed with tossing and turning with sweats and back pain for the rest of my life. But then I got a Helix mattress that met my exact sleep needs. Now the only thing I need to worry about ruining my sleep is staying up all night, hate watching trad wife videos. Here's how it works. The Helix Sleep Quiz matches you with the perfect mattress based on your personal preferences and sleep needs. Then Helix delivers your mattress right to your door with free shipping in the U.S. Then you can rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. The Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. They have a 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty. The only bad thing about my Helix is that I have become a mattress snob who can only take the best. Go to helixsleep.com/hysteria for 20% off site-wide. That's helixsleep.com/hysteria for 20% off site-wide. Make sure you enter our show name at checkout so they know we sent you. Hysteria is brought to you by Flamingo. I don't hate shaving, but I do hate the irritation, redness, and ingrowns. I can't stand how most women's razors feel flimsy and cheap. A self-care routine should be a ritual, but bad razors make it a chore. But recently I switched to Flamingo. Now my shave is smooth and gentle. Bye-bye to bumps and irritation. The razor feels like it's working with me instead of against me for once. Flamingo is not like the razor companies I grew up with. The women who helped build Harry's found themselves rolling their eyes when other companies were just shrinking men's razors and making them pink. So they decided to shake things up. Flamingo was born to give women shaving solutions made with their bodies in mind. No more pink tax pricing, no mediocre design, no irritation. And their starter set has everything you could need, whether it's time for an everything shower or even if you just need to shape your brow line. Here's what it includes. Flamingo's original razor with 5 sharp blades, a 360-degree comfort system to help protect skin from irritation, a flexible hinge to hug every curve, and a weighted ergonomic handle made with up to 35% recycled plastic, a facial dermaplane razor that sweeps away peach fuzz and exfoliates the skin, making skincare and makeup application easy. A foaming shave gel designed to add a pillowy cushion between your skin and razor, giving you that I can't stop touching my smooth leg shave, and a shower holder to keep your razor within reach. This whole kit is just $7, and the shipping, free. Yes, you heard that right. And if you don't love your shave, Flamingo offers a 100% money-back guarantee, so no risk. For a limited time, our listeners can get the Flamingo starter set for only $7 at shopflamingo.com/hysteria. This set includes the Flamingo Original Razor, 1 5-blade cartridge, a 1-ounce foaming shave gel, and a shower holder. Just head to shopflamingo.com/hysteria to claim this offer, and after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who remember that time when sex ed was something that terrified conservatives.
Mm-hmm. That was my era.
That was my era,
too. Gen X is here.
Yeah, I mean, they were afraid of sex ed, I think, because they didn't want people to get the idea of sex. Like teenagers,
if you teach
just,
them, they're going to want to go do it.
They're going to know about it. They're going to be like, ah, right. Oh, I can have sex?
Jeez.
And then they're going to go do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so something funny is happening right now. A new policy brief by the organizations Guttmacher and Sex Ed for Social Change sheds light on how the anti-abortion movement is using sex ed to now push their agenda. Isn't that interesting? So since 2021, 4 states have banned abortion providers or anyone affiliated with them from teaching sex ed, and 4 other states have similar older laws on the books. So they're banning people with the most in-depth scientific knowledge of reproductive health from teaching sex ed. Seems dumb. 7 states also now have baby Olivia laws, which force students to watch misleading animations on fetal development that personify a fetus. Anti-abortion advocates are also pushing sex education programs to require the promotion of adoption as an alternative to abortion and to make students view stigmatizing and at times inaccurate videos, photos, and materials depicting abortion procedures. Something else that I think is interesting happening with sex ed. So while they're like, abortion is not an – adoption has never been an alternative to giving birth or being pregnant. The only end of pregnancy is either giving birth or having an abortion or having a miscarriage.
Exactly.
But whatever, they're going to continue with that, like, false equivalency forever. And I think no matter how many times we scream until we're blue in the face, nobody's ever going to cave on that one because
– I think it's something like of teen girls that get pregnant, it's somewhere between 1% and 3% that ultimately go to adoption.
Yes, because having a baby from your body and then separating from the baby is
right.
One of the most traumatic things that you can do to yourself as a mother.
I couldn't imagine it.
Like, to the baby and to the mother. It is a traumatic event. Anyway, there's something else that's interesting going on with sex ed that I thought was very funny. And that is that in the Heritage Foundation, they put out a report about how to get the birth rate up. And one of the suggestions was to have classes that familiarize girls with their menstrual cycles and ovulation to, like, help with the intent
help
of them
plan
learn how to get pregnant. Isn't that so funny? It's like, oh, you mean sex ed?
I mean, it's literally sex ed.
It's crazy to me. How do you remember abortion being discussed during your education, Alyssa?
Well, Erin, back when there were horse and carriage. I was just old enough. Here's the thing. You know how, like, school books are printed in, like, a series? You know, and one book, like your Macmillan social studies book, could be printed, like, 1975, but, like, in 1990, you're still using it.
Mm-hmm.
It's my generation.
Yeah.
So our sex ed class was actually hilarious because there wasn't technology, right? So we took a test that was on the overhead projector, and you just had to write the answers down on your little piece of notebook paper. And to give you a sense of where I fell in the stages of sex ed, at the end of one of our tests, the question was, how can you contract HIV/AIDS? And it was like a toilet bowl, kissing, hugging, and something else. And the answer was all of the above. And my friend Kara, the freedom fighter, was like, this is the equivalent of, like, this is fake news. Like, this is not correct.
Oh my God.
We're not getting this whole thing wrong. And so we learned how to diagram male and female reproductive anatomy. We learned, I never heard the word abortion. We got that from Ms. Magazine. Thank you. And that was kind of like, it was pretty rudimentary. We understood what sex was, but the way it was explained, you're like, well, I guess you do that when you're like 40, because that sounds terrible. And they did talk about the role of birth control and condoms, but never abortion.
Interesting. I had...
So I knew enough to know what could happen if I did it.
Yeah. I had like this amazing family and consumer sciences education teacher, aka home ec. It used to be called home ec, but it was FCE.
Oh, I was like, that sounds fancy.
Yeah, it was just the rebranded home ec. Her name was Mrs. Schmidt, and she is still alive. She's still kicking.
Good for her.
She made my oldest daughter like a blanket when she was born, and it's like it's amazing. It is like
an amazing
baby blanket. And it's like, of course you did, Mrs. Schmidt. But Mrs. Schmidt had, she taught human growth and development in eighth grade. And on the first, it was like a notorious class because it was a sex ed class. And on the first day, we all had to sit in a circle and go around and read the definitions on the list.
Whoa.
Yep. And it was not for laughing. It was not, and it was really funny because the class size was always like 12 or 13 people. And it just so happened that somebody would get all the really bad ones. Like one person would get ejaculation and like erection. You know, it was just like, it would, one person would get like penile implant, you know, whatever.
Right.
So we did that on day one. And like, if you laughed, you got in trouble. And then we kind of like talked about pregnancy and stuff. But at the same time, I was in CCD because I was Catholic.
Right.
And I, we all were ushered into the church one Wednesday night because we had like Wednesday school. And I think I was either, this was years later, I was maybe a junior or senior in high school. I learned about abortion from Dirty Dancing, first of all, like most people, like most people did.
Also, just want to flag, my sex ed teacher was also my gym teacher.
Oh, fun. That makes sense to me. So anyway, we get like herded into the church, and we're all sitting in the pews, and there is a like a pull-down projector screen in front of the pews. And there's a lady standing there that we've never seen before. And then she turns, you know, the lights go down. A slideshow comes up, and it is graphic photos of sexually transmitted diseases.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I showed you that gonorrhea.
Oh, yeah. And she had—
I do remember that. I do remember STDs.
Yeah. And she had no medical training, very obviously, and a very heavy Duluth accent. Mm-hmm. And so when she said the word oozing— It really
stop.
It really had like a very specific.
It really oozed.
Oh yeah. Well, you see, this gentleman's got some oozing going on. It was just like very. It was like I was so shocked by how graphic it was and how silly her voice was because she sounded like the mom from Bobby's World.
Right.
I was so just. Everyone was so shocked by just the sheer force of what we were witnessing that like afterwards we were kind of like. It was just so we kind of like walk silently out of the church. It was.
I have a question for you.
What?
Did the church sync up your sex ed with knowing that you were getting it at the same time at school?
I don't think so because it was multiple. It was multiple towns. There were not that many Catholics where I grew up.
Okay.
So it was like where I grew up and then the town next to us. There was like four different towns of kids. And so they like did sex ed at different times. But we all had to get it that one. We all watched the presentation. I think that they had decided, like, as a diocese, that it was very important for every parish to be fed this very specific information, which was, like, it was sort of like that scene in Mean Girls when it's like, don't have sex. You will get pregnant and die. Like,
right, right.
And it was so gross and it was so graphic. And it actually, I just remember being, like, disgusted. It wasn't like sex is disgusting. It was like genitals are disgusting. And that was the most,
I mean,
like, it was really awful. But we still, and then we learned about abortion, like, was a mortal sin. And it separated you entirely from God. And if you didn't go to confession within a year, you were definitely going to hell. So.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've learned hell has a basement, so.
Yeah, we've learned hell has a basement. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, look, I turned out okay, kind of. And the sex that I had was, like, not complete and including abortion. But I feel as though it's very important for people going into young adulthood to understand what abortion is, what the process is. And so they don't have to, like, rely on crisis pregnancy centers or internet misinformation or whatever.
Right.
Because the truth is that, like, I've had abortion before.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that it is not as scary It is less scary if you are armed with like the proper
right
information. Yeah, I don't know. This is so silly. I don't think that this is going to work either for them, like goosing the birth rate or whatever their intent is, or goosing the adoption rate, because it's like,
well, let me tell you something. Here's why. Do you ever watch Unexpected?
No.
It's about girls in high school who get pregnant.
Okay.
And it follows them on their journey of like birthing and starting to raise their baby. One, they all, very few want to have the babies. They do have the baby. None are given up for adoption, just FYI.
Mm-hmm.
But in the, they always have some sort of scene where the girl describes how she got pregnant. 99% of the time, they did not understand how their cycles work. They did not, like, it is one sex ed class, and I think, like, 90% of the people who end up on this Unexpected show would be like, I don't think I want to do that. That seems like a problem.
Yeah.
And that, then, but all of them were like, no, I never learned it in school. No, my mom never, no, mom and dad never taught me any of this. I know.
This is, man, that is discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe all of this like cycle education will result in people being more comfortable with like, oh yeah, it's been about 2 weeks since I
might want to check in.
Yeah, might want to just, or since I had my period, might not want to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Or use that condom.
Yeah. Or yeah, yeah, get an IUD. All right, we're gonna move on to one final story that we want to talk about. This is another way that the right is co-opting spaces that are sort of like,
or they're trying.
They like, the thing that's funny to me is like sex ed to me is very middle of the road. It is very normy to just give people information.
Yeah,
like, and this is like the Bachelor franchise to me is like so normy that mm-hmm. it's crazy that there's that they're doing what they're about to do with it. Alyssa, can you?
So also, quick one before I get into this. Yes, Caroline, she checked me. When I said hell has a basement, that is a quote from Macy Neely on the Mormon, The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. It was very funny. She said it on the last episode. So anyway, it was stuck in my brain. But we are now moving on to Fake Bachelor mm-hmm. because, well, Aaron, the Bachelor franchise, it's just not trad enough for me. Said no one ever. But Fox seems to see a gap in the market. They have greenlit a new dating show focused on traditional marriage, quotes, with former Bachelor host Chris Harrison. Harrison left the franchise in 2021 after receiving backlash for being dismissive of racist actions of contestants, among other things. And here's what we know about the show. Here's the logline. Several women will embark on a relationship journey designed for individuals seeking lasting commitment, blending romance, real-world compatibility tests, and emotionally charged eliminations. The series reimagines modern-day dating through the lens of shared values, authenticity, and the goal of marriage. First of all, that's basically the fucking Bachelor.
But that is a Bachelor. Like, what?
Wait, here's more. Harrison goes on to say, so not the logline, we're looking for singles who believe in clear roles, long-term commitment, and building a life together, and who are dating with real intention. Here's another little flag. They're casting for ages 21 and over. What? Not 21 to 40? Not 21 to 35? Just 21 and over? That's
21.
Sick.
Okay, you need your brain. I'm going to say this. My parents got married when my mom was like 21.
That's fine. But was your dad 50?
No, but I feel like it was an exception that proves the rule. You shouldn't get married before your frontal lobe has fully developed.
Bare minimum 25.
Bare minimum 25. And honestly, if you can push it to as late as possible, that's when I would recommend doing it. Unless you like...
38 years old over here.
Yeah, I was...
That's old I was.
37 when I got married, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But, you know, 21 and over, God, if you're 22...
It just, to me, is like, you know it's going to be... When this show starts, I will watch it the first day, just to prove my point.
Well, it's going to be on Fox Nation subscription service, so I don't know.
No, but isn't it going to be on... Oh, no, it is only on subscription. Well, we'll get around that. But we'll figure out how to get around that. But... I just know that when we turn it on, the women are going to be 21 to 28 and the men are going to be 35 to 45. I just kind of feel that in my bones.
You know, I have a funny Bachelor story. I have a friend who was on The Bachelorette and like he was, I think he was on mm-hmm. another one of the spinoffs as well. He's a really cool dude. But one time he—
Bachelor in Paradise?
Yes. He was in Bachelor in Paradise also. And he, like, met me and Josh out one night, and he brought with him a guy who had been the Bachelor, who was a friend of him.
Okay.
Because they, like, all hang out. They're in, like, it's like a weird fraternity almost.
Yeah.
Because they've gone through this really strange experience that, like, not very many people— also have gone through. So he brings this guy who had been the Bachelor, and I'll tell you who it actually was off mic.
Okay.
And the guy was, like, conservative on the show. Like, he was very conservative coded, the guy that my friend brought. And he was very, very drunk, like, could barely speak. He hit on me in front of Josh in a way that was just, like, very sad.
Yikes, yeah.
And then at the end of the night, my friend and then this his female friend that was also with us in this group had to, like, help him into a car to get him home because they were you need to go. Like, there was something very dark. There was a darkness about him.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. I'll tell you who it was off mic.
Okay.
Alyssa, moving on to this upcoming season of The Bachelorette, there's some drums around
it. Oh, sad.
Yeah, Taylor Frankie Paul's season of The Bachelorette. Taylor Frankie Paul is from Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Mormon Wives, yeah.
It's about to start. Alyssa, can you bring us up
this
to speed?
This is not good. Okay. So from the very first season, we're up to season four. Season five is filming right now. So
Of Secret Lives.
And what you learn over the four seasons is that Taylor has a baby daddy, Dakota, and they have a very, very tumultuous, very volatile, very, very unhealthy relationship. It was either season one or season two. There's, like, a domestic violence moment.
From her, right?
From her. It usually— – now, look, because they're both— – she is very, I think, unwell, and he, I think, is an excellent manipulator. It's like you never really know. But based on what you see, she tends to be the person who gets triggered first, right? Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that they show. Well, she, at the end of season three, it is revealed that she is going to be the Bachelorette. So season four
is
taking us—
why would they pick a Bachelorette with a history of, like— domestic violence.
Well, she has a huge following on social media.
Yeah, but okay.
And
but
she is beloved. Oof. People really see her. Her fans see her as, like, a real underdog, and they are always rooting for her. And I think that a lot of her fans don't understand that some of the behaviors that they egg on over social media are actually examples of her needing help and, like, support and
it's
not
like,
being
it's
egged
like
on.
From, it's yes. like Hoda from Love Island. It's like, yes. This woman has a personality disorder.
Exactly.
Why and like a are lot you of people, cheering her on? This is not a sleigh.
No. And a lot of people, after seeing the news that broke, so she's going to be the Bachelorette. And now season five is filming as the Bachelorette has ended. So Bachelorette is supposed to premiere March 22nd. It breaks earlier this week that she and Dakota have had another domestic violence dispute. It is the reporting. She has not really made a statement on it. She talked about it a little bit Wednesday morning on Good Morning America, where she basically just said she can't tell her story. When she can, you know, she will. You have to, and some of the stuff that's coming out now that's, like, also a bit interesting is how, like, ABC executives might have looked the other way when some really troubling behavior. Now, I say it like I'm saying something bad, but it's like if you just watched season four film, you would have been like, this feels like a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we shouldn't send her on The Bachelor, because what you learn in the cliffhanger of season four is that that Dakota has gone over to her house the night before she leaves for The Bachelorette. And he has had sex with her, and it appears in, like, the commentary leading up to it that he wants to do it so he fucks her mind up as she's, like, trying to go on to the Bachelor and move forward, Bachelorette and move forward. So it's, like, a really sad, troubling, like, I really love the Mormon Wives. Like, we had Macy Neely on last year, but this was, like, I don't know that they should make another season. This feels really wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're approaching, like, another reality TV dysfunction apotheosis.
Yeah.
Like— in early 2000s, everything kind of like ramped up and ramped up and ramped up until that show Megan Wants a Millionaire, and that guy like turned out to be a murderer. I think he was like the second the second runner up or something like that.
I forgot about that.
Or either that or he won. But anyway, only two episodes of Megan Wants a Millionaire had aired, and then they just pulled it because they found his like partner's body in a suitcase or something like that.
Oh my God.
It was like really fucked up. And so like
That's fucked up.
But it was clearly like all of this is leading. Like for years it was clear that like all of this was leading to something really bad. And then I felt like there was maybe like a dial back of the exploitation for a period of time. We had like the Swan.
Do you remember, it was the show on Lifetime that was the sort of like, not mockumentary, it was a drama of what happens behind the scenes of The Bachelor. It was called Real... Something like
Unreal. It was really, season one was amazing.
Season one was really good, but it showed sort of some of the diabolical stuff that happens. And I felt like that was around the time when things ratcheted down a little bit.
Things were taken down a couple notches, but now
like
I think
they cut alcohol from some of the sets.
Yeah. Well, the zone is so flooded at this point that the only way to like break through the noise is to really lean into to things that are going to get attention. And that's like having a million social media followers or blah, 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 blah. And I think that like this is all cruising for something really, really bad. And then, you know, it's also like, you know, in the 90s, that Jenny Jones show had that.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember the episode that was like secret crush revealed? And then it ended up like one of the people ended up killing the other one.
No, because but I did watch Jenny Jones.
Well, it was a same-sex secret crush that was revealed. And there was like some, and there was like a lack of screening, and it just, it ended in tragedy. And I feel like there's just, we go through these like cycles where we're like, how far can we push it? How willing are we to look the other way when it comes to danger signs? And then eventually we play with fire enough and then we get burned and then it just starts over again. And I'm like, I just don't think this is a good idea. Especially like the fact that she, didn't she throw a chair at him or something like that?
There is reporting that she threw something at him in front of her child.
That is like, ugh.
And that is, and that's, but then there's some, that's been disputed. And I mean, but like also, I don't understand how ABC can move ahead with showing The Bachelorette. Like,
I mean,
this feels like they got to press pause.
They've got to do something.
Well, but- and, oh, this is the other thing. All of the guys, it was outed that the guys on the show found out about her relationship with Dakota since it ended filming. Also, like, so why is anyone going to watch the show?
Oof. All right. Well, TBD. This all feels like a bunch of bad ideas stacked on top of each other.
That are about to roll out in, just, in our view.
We'll just unleash it. We'll just, like, let's just be guinea pigs. Let's just, there's not enough toxic content about there, about straight relationships out in the world. Let's add some more. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sani Petty. Hysteria is brought to you by Brodo. What if your go-to cozy drink wasn't tea or hot chocolate, but a clean, collagen-rich bone broth made by an award-winning chef? This podcast is sponsored by Brodo. Welcome to the hottest trend in nutrition for the last 2,000 years, bone broth. Brodo's bone broths are made from scratch, no concentrates, preservatives, or shortcuts, so you get the best broth money can buy. Brodo makes bone broths that are delicious enough to drink. Each cup delivers whole food protein, about 10 grams per serving, along with collagen-building amino acids, electrolytes, and nutrients to support gut health, immunity, joints, skin, and general wellness, all under 50 calories and with zero sugar or fat. You guys have to try the Tuscan Sun flavor. It tastes like rosemary and lemon. It's the perfect soup for that winter to spring seasonal transition. Brodo was launched by award-winning chef Marco Canora. He started selling Brodo out of the side door of his East Village Manhattan restaurant 11 years ago. And now, whether you want a quick, warm drink or a nourishing base for cooking, Brodo makes it easy. They ship nationwide, so you don't have to be in New York City to enjoy Chef Marco's masterpiece. I cannot stop talking about Brodo. I have it most days of the week, sometimes two or three times in the same day. I'll have one and I'll be like, nope, coming back for more. It's a great mid-afternoon snack. It's also great before I go to bed because it fills me up, but it doesn't cause me to have like middle of the night tummy pains. But is broth actually good for you, or is it all just hype? A 2025 study found that the amino acids in broth heal leaky guts and strengthen the immune system. In other words, there's real science behind grandma telling you to drink bone broth when you're sick. And Brodo comes in 8 delicious flavors, from classic chicken to the spicy Nona, to more creative blends like ginger turmeric, herb-infused, or veggie-based broths. I recommend trying their sampler packs so you can figure out for yourself which flavor is best for you. From chefs like David Chang and Tom Coluccio to outlets like The New York Times and Good Morning America, Brodo has been consistently recognized as a bone broth pioneer. Shop the best broth on the planet with Brodo. Head to brodo.com/hysteria for 20% off your first subscription order and use code hysteria for an additional $10 off. Once again, that's brodo.com/hysteria for 20% off your first subscription order and an additional $10 off if you use my code hysteria.
If you love Positive America and want more of my political analysis, you should subscribe to my newsletter, The Message Box. I'm Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, and in Message Box, I break down what's actually happening in politics and what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump and MAGA. If you follow every poll and every twist and turn in the campaign, Message Box is for you. This isn't just hot takes. Every edition delivers clear analysis, behind-the-scenes insight, and practical strategy you can actually use, whether you're working on a race, organizing your community, or just trying to win the argument in your group chat. So if you're listening to this, hit pause, go to your browser, and head to crooked.com/yeswedan, because I have a special offer for Crooked Media fans. You'll get 20% off a Message Box for an entire year. So go to crooked.com/yeswedan.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who have thought, when they watch those Doge depositions, you know, if I got like a pixie cut, I would want it cut like that one little boy. He's got like a nice little cowlick. I was like, I bet
it was perky.
I was like, I bet a lot of lesbians are going to print that out and be like, ignore who this is. This is the haircut I want the next time they go to the barber.
If I could look like any lesbian, it would be Tig Notaro.
Okay.
I've thought about it before. I don't know why.
Gabby Windy for me.
Just thought I'd share.
It's Gabby Windy.
Oh, I love Robbie Hoffman too.
Yeah, they looked, oh my God, they looked so good at the—
at the Oscars.
They looked so
good. Or the
good.
Party.
It was like the after party, but they looked,
yeah,
they looked
I
so
love
good.
Them.
I love them. I love how much they love each other. I love how supportive and excited they are about each other.
Yeah.
I love it. Love it. All right. Before we get to Sandy Petty, some announcements for the class. We're gearing up for the midterms, literally, with merch from the Crooked Store that does the yelling for you. Grab a due process freak tee and get ready to fight for the basic rights the Trump administration seems to think are more taboo than actual pedophilia. Whatever issue is getting you out of bed and into a phone bank shift this year, visit the Crooked Store and find merch to help you spread the message. Head to crooked.com/store to shop.
This year, Vote Save America is peeling back the curtain on the places and races that matter most to decide the fate of the midterms. November will decide control of Congress and if Trump maintains his Republican trifecta. And that's why Vote Save America is here to offer takes and tips on how, when, where to donate to make sure your money goes the furthest. How to confidently talk to the people in your life about midterms and key issues and opportunities to take action with your community in real life. Sign up at VoteSaveAmerica.com to make sure you're up to date with the latest. Then send the link to 5 friends. Paid for by Vote Save America. Learn more at VoteSaveAmerica.com. This ad has not been authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
All right. Now let's get to Sandy Petty. Alyssa, I had a funny thought. I'm going to share
me.
It with you.
Tell me.
I was listening to the Backstreet Boys the other day because—
Oh, love.
I know. Because my older daughter is really into, like, male K-pop groups. Like, mm-hmm. She loves BTS. Like, she just, like, loves watching videos of BTS. Like, it's her favorite thing. And then she, like, a Backstreet Boys video started playing after that. And I was, like, explaining to her it was Backstreet Boys. And I was thinking about the title, like, Backstreet Boys. And it's like, what does that mean? And I just thought, wouldn't it be kind of funny if they were called the Back Alley Boys? That would kind of change.
It would make a difference.
It's a bunch of, like, rogue gynecologists that were living in a pre-Roe
era. Oh, do you know
era.
Where I went?
What?
I went that they were like the boys that lived in the alley where Cats took place. Like one, oh, like befriended yeah. old Deuteronomy.
Yeah, yeah. No, Back Alley Boys could be a name in like a reboot of Cats. It could be
that
a
would
group
be so
of
funny.
The Cats. No, I was thinking about abortions. I was like the Back Alley
yeah,
Boys.
Yeah, no, I got where you were going. Picked up what you were putting down.
Speaking of Dirty Dancing. Okay, now let's get to Sandy Petty. I have something that I am feeling petty about.
Okay, before you get into your petty, please call me on FaceTime with Juniper so she can see my bye. Please
okay.
continue.
Okay,
please continue.
I will. You know, one of our coworkers went to a K-pop concert and sent me a video of like one of the performances at the K-pop concert, and I showed it to Juniper, and she like still asks to watch the video sometimes. So anyway, okay, so here's my Sandy Petty, and this is also about my kids. So my kids are like 4 and almost 2. And so they're sort of in, like, they're starting to play with dolls. Like, Juniper's not really into dolls. She likes Ken dolls, but not Barbie dolls. She's like she marches to the beat of her own drummer. But the little one likes Barbie dolls. She has, like, a little Glinda doll that sings, and she has an Elsa doll. And the other day, I was, like, in Target, and I was like, I should get my little one a new doll to play with. Because, you know, it'd just be, like, fun for her. And she likes to play with her big sister. Do you know that they are making molded plastic clothes on the Barbies now? So you can't even take, like, so.
Why?
Yeah, so there's, like, I was, like, looking at the Barbies, and half of them have, and even, like princess, like, Disney princess dolls or whatever, half of them, you can't remove their clothing. They have, like, a bodice.
That's the whole point.
I know. They, or, like, a bathing suit is, like, molded and printed. It's, like, painted on their body.
Ew, what about their hair?
Their hair is like fine, but I feel like they're really. They're also their knees don't bend. Remember how they used to have like
oh my gosh, like a joint click.
Yeah, and like they're like the material they were made of was kind of like springy, rubbery, whatever. Like they're not like that anymore. They're for the most part the dolls are totally like cheaper than I remember them being. But the molded clothes, it is about to drive me crazy. I'm about to like go on eBay.
That's crazy.
And buy some vintage Barbies.
Oh,
because
Peaches
it's like,
and Cream Barbie.
They want it. Like part of the fun is like
the
you take their clothes off and you put clothes on and you can even buy like the clothes.
Remember
and the
shoes?
I remember the shoes. Of course I remember the shoes. I know a lot of people who got those shoes stuck up their nostrils. Not
obviously,
me, but other people.
Kids I babysat for.
Yeah, definitely. There was also this game that was called Don't Spill the Beans that my brother got one of the beans stuck up his nose, but never a Barbie shoe. But like that to me is like, that is egregious. Like, listen, Mattel.
No.
I understand the need to maximize shareholder value, but part of the joy of playing with Barbies is like having a bunch of clothes to change them in and out of.
Oh, and you had like the little trunk
doing
where you put
fashion
the clothes.
Shows.
Yes.
Yeah, and like the little flat. Remember like the clothes you could just buy separately that were just Barbie
of
clothes?
Of course.
Like
that
the
was
outfits.
The whole point. That's what you got in your stocking.
You got Barbie clothes. Exactly. Or if you went to a friend's party and they all, like you got them one Barbie that was like one of the $7 Barbies that was wearing like a bikini.
Yes.
So it wasn't
yes.
like one of the fancier ones, then you would also get her an outfit for the Barbie because then that rounded
of
out the gift.
Of course.
Like
and
that
like,
was,
or you'd like plan with a friend and a friend was getting the Barbie and then you would get a couple outfits.
Exactly. Exactly.
It was great.
Yeah. Or you could give outfits as like party favors too. Everybody
totally.
Got a different outfit. It was, this cannot stand. I know that there are people that are like, oh, I don't like naked Barbie boobs, but they don't even have nipples.
They weren't real boobs.
They're not real boobs. Their genitals aren't real genitals. Like they don't have vaginas. Like there's nothing, that's like a joke at
it's
the
dumb.
End of the Barbie movie is that
yes.
she's going
oh,
to a gynecologist.
Right.
Like we need to get away from this molded plastic clothes thing because I was so upset, even though there were some Barbies that had the option to have removable clothes. I was like, I'm not buying any of these until Mattel changes their entire line of Barbies to align with my preferences. So
yes, that
otherwise,
is, that's silly.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't believe it. It's like, are there
I mean,
other
that
dolls?
That was the whole fun. Like, that was the whole point.
I know. And there are other dolls that have clothes that you can change in and out of, but they're like bigger. They're American Girl size. Or they're like some, like Barbies were just so universal. It's like every store you went in, you could find one or you could find an outfit and like everybody had them. And it's like, anyway.
My sister thought she had dodged the American Girl phase.
Uh-huh.
But no.
Yeah.
My niece is into it now, and my sister's just like, oh!
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming for everybody.
Yeah, it does.
All right, Alyssa, are you feeling sane or petty this week?
Petty, and I'm a little one trick. I didn't intend to spend so much time talking about the secret lives of Mormon wives, but they're also my petty.
Okay.
And it's not the women. It's the men.
Okay.
Aaron, they have come. So I just got to be honest. Most of the husbands are like largely fine. There's one who's a complete toad. His name is Jordan. He's horrible.
Ugh, fuck Jordan.
Jordan's awful. Whitney's husband, Connor, is a saint, loves being a stay-at-home dad, is teaching himself magic. I mean, love this guy. But Jordan, who is not most of the dads, they're like five or six dads, most of them are dads or baby dads. Jordan has like only largely grown kids, and he started Dad Talk. So all of the women got famous from being on Mom Talk. They did their own thing. They danced little routines, largely benevolent, fine. Well, the minute that they, all the women, started outpacing the men by a margin and how much they were making and all became the primary breadwinners in their homes, they were like, okay, guys, we have a lot going on. You need to stay home and take care of the kids now. And it's fun to watch because some of them are really suffering. Some of them are really struggling. Except for Jordan, who just made lots of merch that says Dad Talk and is so stupid. He's like verbally abusive to his wife. He's a horrible person. And I don't want to watch them on my screen. This is not what I signed up for. I don't want to watch Dad Talk. I don't want to watch them go to the villa, the Vanderpump Villa. That one was for you, Caroline. I don't want to watch any of it. They're boring. They complain. The one who didn't go to the villa is the one who loves taking care of his kids. And I just can't take it. I can't take it. Dad Talk needs to go. I hope Hulu can hear me. I am already on the fence about coming back for another season because I feel that what's happening to Taylor Frankie Paul, whatever her whole name is a little bit exploitive and people knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dad Talk needs to go.
Okay. I agree.
Thank you.
I've never seen the show, but I tried to watch the show and I was like, I can't with these people.
No, it's not your cup of tea. I'm just weirdly obsessed with Mormons. I like to see all facets and these men are horrible.
I like Mormons too.
I really do.
I like the healthy hiking Mormons.
Like the healthy hiking Mormons, I do love to learn about like polygamist culture. I think it's interesting.
It's very sinister. I don't know if you.
Well, yes. I mean, but I'm talking about sister wives where they all left Cody.
That's we like accidentally honeymooned in a place called like Apple. Well, it was near Apple Valley, Utah, which is like Hilldale almost, which is where the Warren Jeffs compound
was. Yeah.
And we didn't realize it until we rolled in and we're like, why are there so many walls around these compounds?
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah.
That's like very big love. Mormon.
Bad like, vibes.
It's like you can go through, there's like sister wives where they all ultimately get free and we all hated Cody all along. There's big love, which is like a lot of like deeply sinister, very
this
gross
was
stuff.
Keep sweet, pray and obey.
Yeah.
Fully
yeah.
Keep sweet, pray and obey. And like we are close to Colorado City, Arizona, which is where they sometimes move when like Utah police
are
like
yes. It's like right over the border.
Yeah. Bad vibes. Bad vibes overall in that part of the country. I do not recommend in general. I remember when we were driving south into Arizona and we crossed into the Navajo reservation, the vibe suddenly became immaculate. They improved massively. But yeah, that part of the country, no bueno. Alyssa, I'm so glad you're back.
Oh, this was fun. We had a good time. Terrible news, but a good time.
Terrible news, but a good time. I feel like that should be Hysteria's tagline. Terrible news, but a good time. Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die. I'm so glad you're on the mend.
Thank you.
Listeners, if you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com. We love hearing from you. You guys are always so like smart and nice and cool. Tips, tricks. I'm going to get started on some of your gumbo recipes soon.
Oh my God. I have such a collection. And
we
I've
got
like
so many.
I'm so excited.
I'm going to like, I could do a gumbo recipe every month, probably for the rest of my life.
I mean, they were all so different.
They're all
like so
different.
Delicious.
I'm so excited. I'm gonna try one this weekend. I think I'm gonna select it at random, and then I will announce. Like,
I made a little folder for mine.
Oh, I'm gonna have to do that too. I'm so disorganized. All right, that's all the time we have. There will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gallardo Dostoevsky and Claudia Sheng. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Adrian Hill is our head of news and politics. Kendra James is our executive producer of culture and entertainment. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
If you love Positive America and want more of my political analysis, you should subscribe to my newsletter, The Message Box. I'm Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, and in Message Box, I break down what's actually happening in politics and what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump and MAGA. If you follow every poll and every twist and turn in the campaign, Message Box is for you. This isn't just hot takes. Every edition delivers clear analysis, behind-the-scenes insight, and practical strategy you can actually use, whether you're working on a race, organizing your community, or just trying to win the argument in your group chat. So if you're listening to this, hit pause, go to your browser, and head to crooked.com/yeswedan, because I have a special offer for Crooked Media fans. You'll get 20% off a Message Box for an entire year. So go to crooked.com/yeswedan.